Welcome to a new episode of These Go to 11. Let's turn it up. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to These Go to 11, an unchurchy conversation about everyday faith. Please make sure you like, subscribe, and review on your favorite podcast platform. This not only helps us to get our content out there, but also helps us to find out what you, our faithful listeners, think. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to These Go to 11. Once again, I'm Nathan Bell. Joining me as always, the loser, Greg Dutcher.
Whoa. Nathan, I'm going to tell you I'm highly offended by that. I don't know if it was attempted humor, but...
It's a good thing we're talking about conflict resolution
yes,
today.
Yes, I'm going to have to do some conflict resolution because I want to be called the biggest loser. Wait, that's another show that I probably need to go on. So we'll just we'll earmark that, come back that's to that right. one for another time. Good setup, dude. Calling your co-host a loser?
Hey.
Dude, that could bring personal offense to me.
Except it's me saying it, so...
Takes one to know one. Boom. What do you do with that? You're ugly and your mama dresses you funny. Thinking of all
so.
The yeah. My dad could beat up your dad and, you know, remember all the elementary and middle school things?
Yeah, those backyard insults.
Yes, but dude, good way to introduce.
Yeah.
Out of the gate.
We got our topic and it's... interesting because we were doing some planning and we were trying to decide what we were going to do. We're actually trying to set ourselves up for the summer because Greg, you and I are just crazy busy throughout the summer.
Yep.
So we're trying to get everything mapped out and get everything planned for that. And really we're looking on what are we going to do a recording. And the church has been going through this series on conflict.
Yep.
And you and Matt have been tag teaming in and out, preaching through this series. And so you and I had decided that this would be a good one to follow up with in the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. And, you know, we just ended that series Sunday with Matt. Notice how I did that, dude. Matt took three. I took two. I mean, I could have preached like a half sermon and he did the other half and it'd be an even split, but... No, it was good. I can say this. I think I said this in the series, didn't I, Nathan? That Matt was really the initiator.
Yes. Yep.
Behind this, and he just had, I think, the finger on the pulse, talking to a lot of ministry leaders. You know, Matt trains small group leaders.
Yes.
Works with the youth team, of course, and interfaces as well with our global partners, our missions team. So, you know, you, in enough of those conversations, you get a lot of good data, kind of real-time information. And he just said, Greg, it seems like in the last several months, I mean, this is always a baseline in that we live in a fallen world, conflict is inevitable. But... it does seem, and I agree, that there's been an unusual kind of heat up. Mm. By the grace of God, not like there's a church-wide conflict.
Yeah.
Just people telling individual stories, family, friends, coworkers in some cases, neighbors, where conflict has just been an unfortunate reality. So I'll tell you, I was initially a little bit reluctant. I mean, who opposes a... Yeah, the Bible has a lot to say about this topic, so it's not like I'm afraid to open it up and see what it says, but we were in Mark.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, oh, maybe we could do it as the summer, but I'm glad that we did it. Mm. And why are we doing this more? Why are we doing another month after we just ended the series? No. I'll kind of answer that question, dude, that I think you would probably have asked me anyway. Matt and I have joked, oh boy, we did it. We sure did it. Touching on conflict, dude, is literally the proverbial stirring up of the hornet's nest.
Yeah, yeah.
and personally, you know, I shared this in a message a few weeks ago. It really, it's hard to preach on something like this and sort of compartmentalize stuff that may lay buried within me. So it's been hard, but it's been good. It's kind of forced me to examine things we'll talk about on this podcast, I'm sure, kind of the categories situations fall into. Are they minor offenses that can be overlooked and lived with? Are they misunderstandings that, you know, if I just get a little more context, I think it'll make sense? Because, you know, that happens sometimes.
Sure.
Oh, I didn't realize that. No wonder why she said this or he did
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
And some of them are just good old-fashioned, ouch.
Yeah.
This person or people hurt me, and it's not going away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or we find out, I've hurt someone else, and it's not going away right. from them. So on a personal level, a lot has gotten stirred up. But then congregationally, dude, Matt told me today, I mean, he didn't tell me who. I don't need to know who. Somebody reached out to him. And he'd said, "Woo, Dutcher, why did we do this series again?" I said, excuse me?
Right.
We were just ticking along just fine, and Mark.
I was ready to go with Mark.
And then Matt had to get all just caught up on this conflict resolution stuff. But I do think it's one of the, like, you can, okay, if you preach on something like God's providence in the end times, right? Mm-hmm. Say you do a little 1 month series. Hey, there's a lot going on in the world right now. Like we talked about the eclipse, you know, at one point we might talk about an election or there's a war brewing or, you know, and you think, hey, let me do a series on the providence of God. He's got a plan. Those series tend to bring some encouragement, maybe some more knowledge.
Yep.
And those things are very helpful. But certain things, they stir you up.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about conflict, everybody is living in some measure.
Yeah.
In some degree of conflict.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's a universal thing. I mean, you know, as you said, there is so much in Scripture dedicated to conflict. I mean, this is our starting point as humanity, right? Everything's going well, and then boom, we come into conflict with God because of our sin.
Absolutely.
And so we just, it is a part of life. I mean, it is... you know, it's one of those awkward things because the conflict in and of itself isn't necessarily sinful, but the actions within conflict can be sinful.
Or the attitudes, actions, reactions. Absolutely, dude, because sometimes conflict happens because somebody speaks what they believe is true.
Yeah.
And they're not lying. Their intention may genuinely not be to hurt. Mm-hmm. Or upset, but to shed light. And so sometimes you work at that, man, the timing, what you said was true. I'm not even saying you said it to hurt me, but could you have considered that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Person might say, I just lost a loved one in the past month.
Yeah.
Or I think you probably know I'm going through a difficult financial time right now. Or, you know, and you're right. I think that's a good observation, Nathan. Now, it can be.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
It could be somebody calls you a good for nothing and they call all kinds of curses down on you and
right.
a bunch of belittling things. Sure. But no, it's often how we react and respond.
Yeah.
Which is sort of the nuts and bolts of conflict. So, it just seemed to me worth it. In this format, you know, a sermon, dude, we're trying to be as raw and honest as we can, but you and I both know the advantage of a podcast.
Yes.
You can get a little more earthy.
Yeah.
It's almost like we want to have unchurchy conversations about everyday faith. Or did I get that right?
Yes.
Yeah, good. I should get our own tagline right? Can you imagine if I said, it's almost like you rule. Oh, wait, that's Burger King. It is cool if you drive through BK, dude. They tell you rule. Kind of made me feel good. I picked up my ultimate chicken sandwich and my Coke Zero there a couple days ago, and they said, "Oh, thanks for coming. You rule." And I was like, "I do rule."
If you're ever looking for a pick me up,
exactly. If you're feeling really low,
or if you're ever wondering where Greg is when he needs a pick me up.
It's a pretty good guess. It might be Burger King. or McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or Popeyes over in Towson Raising Cane's. But you get the picture. But yeah, if you somebody hurts you bad, dude, you just drive through Burger King. You or you order a Hershey pie, and they'll tell you you rule, and that's good. But I thought, dude, this month we could probably talk about a variety of things that the sermons didn't have time to address.
Yeah,
like I'll preview one, and we won't go into this much today, but. I got a text the first week. I think it was the first week from a woman here, very strong faith, very committed to our church, and just asked me about a particular family member. Now, I knew about this from prior conversations.
There's sure.
a particular family member in the extended family who I've never met this person mm-hmm. based on what I'm hearing from a couple of different people. There could be something mental health related, mm-hmm. Almost a pathology kind of thing, but a lot of lying, harm, mm-hmm. a lot of drama.
Yeah.
You know, anybody listening, you know, you've got somebody in your extended
right.
family that we can all fill in the blank.
And if you don't know who that person is, it's probably you.
It's probably you. Yeah, is it bad I couldn't think of a person? Which means I am the person? No, I could actually think of a couple, so never mind that. But she reached out to me and was telling me how to apply the first message, mm. which was basically conflict is an opportunity.
Yeah.
And it's an unpleasant reality, but it's an inevitable reality, which means if God is sovereign, mm-hmm. there's an opportunity.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity to glorify God, to grow spiritually, and to bless others. That mm-hmm. was sort of the main thought. And she said, I was all bought in. I'm not sure what to do. And what she was getting at, I realized, is the subject of boundaries. Mm. And I think wanted to know my take on boundaries. How, one, do I believe that? If I do, how does that intersect with the idea of, you know, forgiving mm-hmm. 70 times 7, that sort of thing? So, you know, we texted back and forth a little bit. And it made me think that was just the first, that was the morning after the first message. And since that time, dude, a lot of emails that I've gotten, Matt's gotten, conversations people have had, just texts and things. So I think there's some things we could tackle. And honestly, dude, what I love about our format, some things you really just can't tackle in a sermon.
Yeah.
But we can do it here.
Well, and we've talked about that before, right? The initial launch of this podcast back in 2015
yes.
was the idea that we were going to be able to tackle these issues that you couldn't tackle on a Sunday morning,
absolutely.
Right? Going beyond the sermon, as it were.
Yep.
And so that has evolved over time.
Yeah.
into what we do here, but we do go back to that occasionally,
yep.
right? Where you're in a series and it's like, this is too good to just contain to Sundays. Let's spill that conversation over into the podcast and
Absolutely.
Expand it. So
it's the old, we used to talk about it, in college, the lecture lab model.
Yeah.
Right. You get your lecture on photosynthesis, or is that a thing? endoplasmic reticulum, and it's intersection with mitochondria. Dude, isn't that sad? That's all I remember from high school biology. I remember endoplasmic reticulum, mitochondria, and doesn't biology mean like the study of life?
Yes.
That's all I got. So you end photosynthesis, which might be something else, I don't know. But you get the lecture and then you yeah. go into the laboratory, right?
Yeah.
So you learn the anatomy of a frog. And they used to in our day, you'd go cut that frog up and see the anatomy of the frog.
Oh, we still do that at our school with our students.
There you go, dude. The old dead frog day, mm-hmm. right? And it's a different experience. Mm-hmm. They're connected. So I view that these next few weeks, dude, we're just in the laboratory. And,
yeah.
you know, I'll be honest, dude, I think this has been such a challenging series because, I got to be careful here, Nathan, but you know this. So mm-hmm. I'm giving a slightly edited version. One of the things that I regret about being a pastor, I had before being a pastor few, if any, conflicts. Mm. And now after nearly 30 years, dude, I have a landscape in some ways littered with the corpses of once really close relationships.
Yeah.
And it sucks. I hate it. And I don't think in some ways I was even built for it. The pastors I know that really thrive and go the distance tend to be, I'm not saying insensitive.
Sure.
Tend to have a little thicker skin. Matt has thicker skin than I have by far. And I'm jealous of it sometimes. Like I really am. I'm like, man, you've got thicker skin than I have, dude. And I'm jealous of it because I really think it's a valuable gift. I know the other side as well. It's good to be a feeler and you can feel. And there is truth in that. But I have a lot of experience in conflict.
Yeah.
And by the grace of God, I don't mean to depress the audience. I'm going to give some victory stories. But I've got a lot of defeats.
Yeah.
And I know I'm still alive.
Yep.
And who knows how much time I have? Only the Lord knows. And if I have a year or a decade or more, then there are some of those defeats, by the grace of God, could be turned into victories. There's a couple, because of this series that has stirred up my own heart, that I am actively, by the grace of God, working on now. I don't know where they'll lead.
Yeah.
So I think that's what makes this topic so hard.
Yeah.
It's not always measurable.
Yeah. But let's be honest, too. Let's say, you know, let's say that this series just, you know, transforms, you know, you into you know, really pursuing restitution and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that the unfortunate nature of sin is that you might be going strong and then you're going to hit a wall.
Sure.
Right? I mean, and that is just where we continuously go back to the grace of God, right? Where, you know, every relationship Christ had was perfect.
Yeah.
And that includes the bad ones he had with people, right?
Because he was perfect.
Right.
That's a great observation, dude. We can look at Jesus' relationship with others, even where you see conflict.
Yeah.
You know, which that's a great point, dude. The challenge in all of our cases is at some level, all of us are contributing.
Right.
Even in situations, dude, I mean, even in situations where you can tell kind of a clear villain and victim, because you see some of that sometimes. But if it's relational, particularly in the church, there's something that we can always own. So I think theologically, my understanding of the doctrine of sin is that I'm always wrong about something.
Yeah.
Or I always could have done better.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's that when you really listen to a person, you know what? I could have served them better.
Yeah.
If I just paid more attention and I was to. So I think if you have a very sensitive conscience and you know that you can, or you know that if you have a good doctrine of sin, you already know going into it, I got to take ownership of something.
Right.
And that is one of the places where we can't relate to Jesus, nor should we.
Right.
So I'm not downplaying the relatability of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because that's one of my favorite truths in Scripture. He understands us. He knows us. He's well acquainted with our griefs and sufferings, etc. So I let's hold all that up and praise God for it. But we know how he acted in his relationships and how we act in ours are not the same.
Yeah. And that is just so key to remember, right? And this is where this becomes so important, because this is a message to both parties.
Yeah.
Right? At some point, I am going to do or say something to you that is going to cause conflict.
Yeah.
And at some point, you are going to do or say something to me that is going to cause conflict. And so can we, by the grace of God, come together and say, you know what? I am sorry for the part that I played in this conflict. Can you forgive me? And can we move on?
Let's practice that right here, Nathan. I would like your forgiveness for not having seen the Gray Man.
That's right.
But I'm not sure I'm ready to forgive you for not watching Get Out yet. So I would like to receive forgiveness for you for my mistake.
That's right.
I'd like to put mine to you on pause. I need to pray more. I need to think. No, I'm obviously being yes. tongue-in-cheek with your very good observation. Dude, I just realized, by the way, I need forgiveness of myself because all day I've been this new pair of pants.
Walking.
I've been in meetings. I walked into Giant supermarket, and I've got my new pants sticking on. That's great. Good thing we're not on video yet.
Right?
That would be a hoot.
That would just add to the entertainment.
Yes.
Camera with you sitting there looking at the sticker playing around.
Oh, my goodness, dude. You know what, Nathan, we should probably address to in this introductory one? Mm. The church.
Mm.
I did say this in the first message. Mm. I'll try to take a slightly different angle. I'm going to say it to our faithful, wonderful listeners. It's good to talk about this because at present, I am aware, doesn't mean there's not one, I'm aware of no church conflict. Mm. I mean, when I got back from sabbatical 2018, going into 2019, I made a bunch of changes in the church, and I did a lot of this poorly. I've talked about that many, many times. And, you know, some people left.
Mm-hmm.
It hurt. I wish they had talked to me or we had had a better opportunity to resolve, but I can definitely look back and see my errors.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some conflict going on.
Yeah.
Why are things changing? I came to this church. I loved it how it was. And, you know, there were questions about, you know, was I being influenced by less than biblically robust thinkers?
Right.
It's all kinds of stuff. Wasn't major, like, epic conflict that sometimes splits a church where there's sure. warring families, but there was definitely a conflict vibe in the air.
Sure.
That would not have been the time to do a biblical series on conflict because,
yeah.
as I've said, whenever I've done anything like that, I understand it. I'm not criticizing congregations mm-hmm. for feeling like this. I understand it. I think there's a sense of suspicion.
Yeah.
The pastor is weaponizing some scriptures that essentially endorse what he wants.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. that's, and then people are, look, we live in a day and age where all suspicious of authority.
Right.
I don't know if you noticed, Nathan, our political figures aren't always great role models.
Right.
probably nobody's ever had that before, right? Our institutions.
Right.
Isn't this, I saw recently, like in a CNN poll or something, like this is the lowest period in the last 50 years for Congress.
Yeah.
Colleges. Education, the justice system, senators, I mean, anybody you throw in the mix, we're ebbing low.
Yeah.
Doctors, CDC, everybody.
Yeah.
Their views or their confidence is suppressed.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be mindful of that when the conflict is ongoing, it's so frustrating because it seems like it would be so helpful.
Yeah.
But I've just learned, even though it's counterintuitive, it usually doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think it's like parenting, dude, or if you're trying to teach in the moment where your kid's violating curfew and emotions are high and a penalty's got to be doled out.
Sure.
It's not the time to teach.
Yeah.
The time to teach is when things are kind of calm.
Right.
Maybe you're out for a nice drive. Hey, guys, let me talk to you. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Why your mom and I are so big on your curfew.
Yeah.
And why this matters to us and why we're not going to view it as a minor infraction if
yeah.
you break it. It's going to be a big deal. Then when the infraction takes place, you've done some proactive teaching.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's going to make everything magic
right.
and go away. There's going to be some frustration that the right. kids will have, but less so.
Yes.
And I've seen that from experience. When we can anticipate the potential infractions
yeah.
and address those before they take place,
yeah.
it's always much better.
Well, and we've talked about, too, the reality is anything we do in regard to Scripture has to be done in the context of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was talking to my students about this the other day when we were talking about, you know, issues that come up and how do you approach someone who's not a Christian, who doesn't believe in the Word of God? How do you have these conversations if they're prone to just mock and ridicule you? I said, a stranger in that position might be prone to mock and ridicule you, but a friend is not. Right. And it's the same thing in the church, right? If you come into conflict with people, then hopefully the friendship is the underlying basis. The relationship is there to be able to sustain and guide you through the conflict, and not always. And, yeah. and you've talked about that, Greg, that you have people in your life who you considered dear friends.
Oh yeah.
And the conflict arose and it did not withstand the conflict.
Yeah.
But I would hope that more often than not, the relationship is what's going to help get you through that. That
oh, yeah.
from the position of love and the person knowing that I love and I care about you, you're going to be able to weather those storms.
Dude, absolutely. And I know it because while I don't have as many victories as I'd like, mm-hmm. the kind that I have, or the few that I have, dude, I get so much medicinal
yeah.
help and motivation.
Yeah.
To keep on and keep believing,
yeah.
hey, we could get to a better place. Because I will tell you, dude, conflict is one of the things initially, here's a dark side of it. I don't think we've addressed this in the series. Or actually, maybe Matt did in his message on desires a little bit. But I'll speak more plainly. I'll just speak for myself. Dude, I can, in a perverse way, enjoy conflict
yeah.
initially.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, nursing a grudge. Oh, man, this person. And you start kind of imagining, you know, ways that you could expose or you know, humble that person. Some really dark crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really stuff. I mean, stuff that when it comes to my mind and I've got the right perspective, I'm like, well, Jesus, I'm not just saying it that I'm a sinner that needs to be saved. Like,
right.
it's the truth.
Yeah.
Because this stuff will stir up. But you can kind of enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You can enjoy the grudge. You can enjoy the kind of almost self-vindication.
Yeah.
I'm the wronged party. Sometimes if you take the higher road, you brag about taking the higher road.
Right.
So many weird things we can do. But over time, what I find is there's a fatigue.
Mm.
That burden is exhausting.
Yeah.
And we can normalize it. It's kind of like, dude, you hear stories all the time of kids. I've had a couple of our kids have had this. You know, they just normalize their bad vision.
Yes.
And then they get a pair of glasses.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Mustard yellow?
Right.
Right. Right. The sky is blue.
Everything's not blurry?
It's not. Everything's not gray and brown and muted and... You know, because it's you just normalize it. I've
yeah.
given probably this before, dude. The smelly dish rag story.
Mm-hmm.
I came in years ago. I think we just had a couple of kids at the time. They were small. So I'm thinking, oh man, there must have been a diaper blowout. But you know, the kids seem fine. The house is neat, and you know, I'm walking around and I said, Lisa, what? How can you? What's that terrible smell? She doesn't know.
Right.
She's gone nose blind.
Yeah.
Because it probably started, because when I left the house, I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
So, dude, I'm doing this all-out search. It's driving me nuts. And Lisa or the kids don't smell it. And I'm like, you don't smell that? It's horrible. And finally, dude, I'm looking at the trash can, meat in the refrigerator. It's this dish rag that got, like, caught.
Yeah.
Kind of in the blades of the garbage disposal. And, oh, dude, I'll just say, when I finally got a hold of that, I almost tossed my cookies.
Yeah.
And then when I got it out, Lisa kind of noticed it.
Yeah.
Strong. That's kind of how I view conflict.
Yeah.
It's this thing that at first seems very small, and it can just wrap so many hard, unyielding roots around your heart and mind.
Yep.
And you kind of live with it.
Yep.
And then when you do get to a place where you can get to a better place,
mm-hmm.
it's incredible.
Yeah.
And what happens with me, Nathan, and I think it happens to most people if you feel this way, when somebody responds well
mm-hmm.
to, hey, man, I got to tell you, this kind of really bothered me
mm-hmm.
that you did this or said this. Did you know that? And they respond graciously.
Yeah.
Dude, I become so much more aware of my own sin.
Yeah.
And I started, you know what? I should, you would have had no way of knowing I would have felt that. Why didn't I tell you that?
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's like you, those just hard roots start to wither up and die,
mm-hmm.
and you can feel your own heart yeah. kind of beat faster. And it's a really incredible thing. And I did mention this in the series, and you know more obviously, dude, mm-hmm. from our friendship, but to honor confidences, Matt and I were talking about some folks that we should probably reach out to. Mm. And man, it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was kind of more my offense. Matt was involved with it, but I bore more of it. It's a long story, but it was so helpful to have Matt there because he could kind of help me represent that, mm-hmm. why it was hard. Because again, he was a smaller part of it, but a real part. So these other two guys we talked to just put some stuff out there, and Nathan, it has made my mood qualitatively better for weeks now.
Yeah,
and there's a lot more to do with sure. some other people.
Sure,
and sometimes it might not go that well.
Right,
which I understand. A lot of people say, "Hey, I tried that one time, dude, and it didn't work, so I'm not going to do it anymore."
Right.
I understand it.
Right.
I understand it, but man, I'm telling you, as a person who is weighed down heavily by interpersonal friction and conflict, it's a special thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, once you do this and you continue to do this, right? As you said, there are going to be defeats, right?
Yes.
There are going to be times where it's not going to quote unquote work.
Yeah.
But when it does, the relationship's being restored. And again, to your point, the way you feel inside, the way it helps you to feel is just, it's so freeing, right? You're yeah. not weighed down by this anymore, you know? One of the things that I want to talk about a little bit is, when do we go to someone with an offense? Versus not, right? Because Joy and I will have conversations about certain things, you know, and you know me, I'm very vocal. I have no problem going to people when and speaking my mind. And there are times where, first of all, I get initially more worked up about something. Mm-hmm. It'll happen quick.
Yeah.
So, you know, somebody will do something and I'm really annoyed, really frustrated. And then, honestly, I don't even remember it 5 minutes later.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and there are certain things where it's like, you know, is it worth it to go to this person? Because I know if I go to them in this moment, it's not going to be a good conversation.
Yeah.
And then the question is, if I wait too long, is this something that is worth bringing up and going over? So I want to talk to you a little bit about that yes. kind of practical, you know.
Yeah.
going to the person type of thing, because the reality is the conflict is there,
yeah.
but typically the conflict is one-sided,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the person on the other side, 9 times out of 10, I'd argue, doesn't even know there's conflict.
I found that many times. Or they might have known it was a little tense, but they don't know the degree that you were affected by mm-hmm. it. I've had that. People have come to me and I'm like, man, I could see how they might have been a little, oh, I disagree. And, I've got one about that actually is with a Towson student.
Okay.
So a little outside of the church, but it was actually really helpful because I was picking up on some body language. I'll just tell that one first because otherwise it'll keep distracting me. I was helping my students with their persuasive speeches.
Yep.
That's, you know, that's the final exam in public speaking. You know, they give their big persuasive speech, so we kind of build all the momentum of the semester goes to that speech. So a few weeks ago when we're finalizing topic selection, I kind of did it as a class exercise. Students put out their ideas. And we'd kind of do it as a class exercise. What's everybody think? Is that Towson wants you to do it an issue of social consequence.
Mm-hmm.
So is LeBron better than Michael Jordan? Interesting topic. They wouldn't have, I can't approve that as a persuasive speech. Mm-hmm. It's too small.
Yeah.
Has to be something like the drinking age should be lowered from 21 to 18.
Okay.
Or, you know, something of social consequence.
Sure.
So a student had one about schools and virtual education. And I don't remember exactly the topic, but I started riffing and I said, well, you know what? I said, I think I had the solution during COVID for at least public schooling. Because students being in front of a computer for 7 hours a day for a year was just craziness.
Yeah.
Which I think most people, regardless of politics, would say, yeah, that was, you know, it's set back.
Yeah.
I think that group of students, they may have lost about a year.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of experts are backing that up, too. So we were talking about that, and I said, what I wish they had done is taken the core four, you know, your math, your science, your history, your English, and done a three-hour day, and then what do you do with phys ed, arts, music, shop, specialty? And I was careful. I said, no, they don't get fired. They're already paid. They're on the bill. But they come in, because now we have a three-hour day. You kind of survey, hey, where do you feel you could help the most? Were you a math, a science, an English, a history? And I always felt, yeah, that's what they should do. I still feel that would have been a better thing than what we actually did.
Yeah.
To focus on the core four and have a shorter day. And I could tell one of my students, her body language was strange. And then as I'm talking later, I asked her, I'll call her Chloe. Doesn't really matter. But I said, Chloe, can I ask you a question? I remember she's a music major. Did I offend you? And she goes, oh, you did kind of. Because her mother's a music teacher, she's a music teacher. And I thought, man, I could understand how that might be a little off-putting, but the weight. So I kept her after class, talked to her 5 minutes, she's fine. She's assured me she's fine.
Yeah.
I told her, I said, I could see how that would hurt. I'm not trying to minimize what you or your mother do. I said it was just blah, blah, blah. Okay, so there's that story. That just shows a minor comment brought a major offense. Anyway, your question about when to go, when not to go. I heard this one from another pastor recently. I don't know if it's original to him. It's a pretty memorable kind of earthly proverb. Go or let it go. So those are your options when you're thinking of somebody that has harmed you in some way. To ask yourself the question, should I go, meaning go to them, or should I let it go? Because definitely, dude, I mean, if we started doing this with every minor offense, it's all we would ever do.
Right.
I mean, if Lisa confronted me every time I wasn't giving her my full undivided, she'd be confronting me a lot. So if it's going on for a long time, okay, Greg, you've been distracted for 3 hours. Can I finally have your attention?
Right.
Yeah, it's a minor confrontation, but it's a confrontation.
Sure.
She's pointing something out. But if every time that happened, it's all we would be doing.
Yeah.
So I gave the example, I think, if we're on the parking lot one day, Nathan, and you know, you walk by me really quick, it's like, hey, what's up, dog? And I kind of mumble back to you. I say, you know, boy, Greg and I have been friends all these years. And yeah, I tend to think that's a minor offense, that you could make a charitable judgment.
Sure.
So a charitable judgment could be, Greg's probably really distracted. I wonder if he's on his way to a meeting and he did what he always did. He double booked and he's got to tell one person he's got to reschedule with them and feel like an idiot. Or, you know, maybe he's not feeling well, just under the weather, feels kind of sick. And yeah, to me, I ask myself, can I let that go? Yes. Dude, I've done none recent. I want to be clear, since we're in the season of doing baptism interviews.
Yeah.
I did a baptism interview not too long ago where the individual was a little, maybe offbeat might be a word to put it. This is some time ago now. And I was telling a story about my baptism and halfway through the person, could we get back to what I was talking about instead of you telling me the story about your baptism? And so, okay, I made an immediate judgment. It was a little jarring. It was sort of like, okay, none taken. But I made that decision to factor in some things.
Sure.
Not major. I think this person really had a genuine burden that they wanted help with, and me giving an illustration from my own baptism wasn't helpful. I do think there's a better way to communicate than this person did, obviously, but I wasn't going to make that a big thing.
Yeah.
So I think you always ask the question, can I let it go first?
Yeah.
And I think that's a good default posture.
Sure.
Can I let it go? Is it love covers a multitude of sins?
Yeah.
And it is to one's glory and credit to overlook a minor offense. So here's, though, what I find. You got to be careful with that. Because sometimes you can do that too quickly, and then if I find myself thinking about it. So I don't know what that magic number is, Nathan. Maybe it's for some people a week. Hey, I'm still thinking about this a week later. Maybe for some people it's a couple of days. And you know that because your own internal apparatus that assesses that stuff says, normally that stuff rolls off me in a few minutes. Like you just said.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, I'm not even thinking about it. Who cares? So I think it depends on how you normally process. If you can hold on to things, like remember them for a few days, then maybe let it play out a few days. Give yourself time to make sure it's not sticking with you. If it's a week or if it's 2 weeks, you know, I would just say when it seems like this doesn't seem to be going away on its own, it's kind of like a medical complaint.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, hey, my elbow kind of hurts. How long has it been hurting? About 2 days. All right. You know, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Yeah, it's been 2 months.
Yeah.
Sometime between 2 days and 2 months, you probably should have gone to the doctor.
Yeah.
So that's my general thought.
Yeah.
And I think that would keep us doing it enough that we avoid things like gossip.
Yeah.
And, dude, I've done this too many times. It's so easy to do. Under the guise of, hey, can you counsel me? Can you pray for me on this? And you can tell 30 people that.
Right.
And I think I'm usually just scratching an itch.
Yeah.
This person ticked me off, and I'm going to let a bunch of people know it.
Yeah.
It's not fair to that person.
Yeah.
Because now you're actually, in some cases, doing reputational damage.
Yeah.
For something that if you had resolved,
yeah,
if you'd gone to that person and that person was receptive,
yeah.
Oh, Greg, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Man, can you forgive me for that? Of course.
Yeah.
Then that's a much better path than telling right. 30 people.
Yeah.
Do you know what this person said? I'm just asking if you'd pray. I'm trying to figure out what to do.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, and I think that's fair. And I think, I mean, I can be on the receiving end of a lot of conversations like that.
Yeah.
Right. Where people want to tell me, and I've come to the place in my life where I understand I don't need to pick up your cause for someone else, right?
Yeah.
Like your issue with this person. Well, I don't have an issue like that with this person and I don't need that. And so one of the things that I know about myself is that I can listen to the person, but I make sure that I'm always telling them, I think you need to go and talk about this. I think you need to go to that person and talk about this.
That's true of you, dude. I feel like I've seen that, and I think it's very important. Because then sometimes you can do it almost in a holier-than-thou way. Right. Don't tell me another thing.
Right.
And I'm like, I think if your commitment is to kind of redirect and maybe if hopefully you're the first or second person you're sharing this with, and they really kind of know what they're supposed to do. They just need some emboldening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, embolden them. But then you're kind of saying, hey, really, please do talk to that person.
Yeah.
Because I think you might find you'll feel a lot better if you get to the place. And then if they don't, well, that's Matthew 18. We have a process.
Right.
Right. That we can pursue if needed. But
more
often than not, that person will be receptive. Maybe if you find out, dude, you're the 25th.
Right.
That might be an opportunity. It's hard to do. Hey, dude, listen.
Yeah.
You got to stop talking about this with so many people.
Right.
I heard you talking to so-and-so and so-and-so.
Right.
You need to go to that person.
Yeah.
And now, I might add, if you really want to be bold, you might have to ask their forgiveness.
Yeah.
That you talked about them with a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not trying to be overly legalistic about it. Sometimes, like I said, I know what I need to do.
Right.
I just need a person to embolden me and encourage me to do it. And if that circle, the goal is you want to keep the circle small.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, I think husbands and wives, well, we talk about everything.
Sure.
And we're one.
Right.
Right. So Lisa knows all the people that I'm hurt by. And, And she will often be a great sounding board, like, Greg, I think you can let that go.
Yeah.
that person is, I guarantee you, they're not thinking about what they said one bit.
Sure.
It was a much bigger deal to you, and I understand why, than it was to them.
Yeah.
And it helps.
Yeah.
You know, so I think when you're married and you have that husband or wife that can help you, it's a good help. But if you don't, you might have that one brother, sister, yeah, really close friend. But by all means, keep it small.
Yeah. I think that's generally good, right? Because yeah, you don't want, again, the reality is you keep that going.
Yeah.
And it's going to circle back. Right. I mean, this person's going to find out.
Oh, absolutely, dude.
You know, and plus, again, what's the point of why you're telling so many people?
Yeah.
You know, like what are you trying to gain from this? Right.
Yeah.
And if you were to answer that honestly.
Yeah. Well, can I be honest? A lot of times it's easier to gripe.
Right.
And get that, it have other people scratch it, tell you how right you are.
Yeah.
And you're kind of getting back at them.
Right.
Because I'm letting these people know who you really are. I'm letting these people know who you really are. And it's, again, man, we can do these things in a very spiritually sounding way. I'm
right.
You know. Or
I really just want prayer.
Yeah, just want prayer. Or, oh, listen, I love this person to death.
Right.
But let me tell you about them.
Right.
And, you know, and I've done it. I'm not getting on people.
Sure.
I've done it and I've received it. And it sucks.
Yeah. No, that's good. We are actually running down on time.
Yeah, dude.
So,
man, I feel like we're in pretty deep. This is just our introductory one.
I know.
Buckle up these next few weeks.
That's right. So next week we have forgiveness, requested or not.
Ooh.
And then we're going to talk about boundaries. So our third one we're going to do is going to talk about boundaries.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do a Q&A. So if you're listening to this, please feel free to send those questions into us.
Yes.
We'd be more than happy to take those. You can send them on Facebook, Twitter, all of our platforms that we're on, Instagram.
If you have my email, Nathan's email.
Yeah. These go to 11 mm-hmm. and then the number 15. So these go to 11, all spelled out, and mm-hmm. then the number 15 at gmail.com. You can contact us that way as well. But we look forward to hearing your questions, and we might have a special guest on for that one.
Yes. So I think we might.
All right. Stay tuned. Greg, until the next time. We just rocked the Casbah.
Thank you again for listening to These Go to 11, an unchurchy conversation about everyday faith. Once again, please make sure you like, subscribe, and review on your favorite podcast platform. And if you ever find yourself in the Forest Hill, Maryland area, please feel free to stop by at 135 Industry Lane, and you can get all of our service times and information at christfc.org.
These go to 11.